You're listening to audio from Citizens Church, located in Plano, Texas. For more information about this ministry or to give to this ministry, please visit citizenschurch.com.
All right. I have probably about 4 hours worth of things that I would love to talk to you guys about. There's just been a lot stirring around in my heart this week, kind of tying together last week's message with this week's message. I think there's a sign in Rachel's office, Hillary's office, that says, "You become what you behold," something like that. I was at the gym this week talking to Ashley, and she was like, "Oh, so you're here doing a little extra work?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And I was like, I think I said, "I'm following in your footsteps," or something like that, because she does a lot of extra work. But I said, "You become what you behold." It just kind of like was one of those conversations that I think the Lord just opened the door for. I wasn't planning on having the conversation. And I was reflecting back on why was I in there, you know? The CrossFit Games were this past week, and the athletes were competing, and they were doing these different events. And so on Monday, I got out early and I ran a 3.5 mile run because that was part of an event. And then I was in the gym and I was doing walking lunges with a barbell because that's what they did, and working on a movement to get weight over your head, and because that's what they were doing. And, you know, I think God uses like examples in our lives to help us to see a truth. And the reason why I'm doing those things is because, like, I want to be like them. I want to be able to do the things that they do. And so, in order to be who they are, I emulate them. I begin to practice the same things that they practice. And so the conversation then started to move towards Jesus. And one of the things that we do in recovery is that we introduce broken people to Jesus and the power of the gospel. And the hope is that they would become like him, that they would become fruitful, that they would flourish. And so as we get to know him, we fall in love with him. And it's just like any person that you wanted to emulate, you want to be like him. And so in order to be like him, you do the same things that he does. And so in many ways, you guys are reflecting Christ in the ways that you are living missionally and loving people. And we want to be a people like that. And today was full of examples like that. You know, the Word of God is confrontational. It is. I was talking to our coaches last night, and the idea of exhortation, and one of our coaches said, "Yeah, it's kind of like you get smacked in the face, and you're like, 'Thank you, that felt really good.'" You have to understand that God's Word is meant to lead us to a place of joy and of flourishing and the fullness of life and to live. And these women are an example of what it means to live. They are living, and they are living a life that's rewarding. You know, one of the things that I think about coming back from sabbatical or vacation or things like that, that like, life on the beach is great. And I think there's a time and a place for that, to rest. But I think the enemy would love for me to spend the rest of my life on the beach. And I will have gotten my reward. And what it means to follow Christ is to, in some ways, forsake that life for a life that is much harder than a life on the beach, but is so much more rewarding. You know, I think one of the things that I like about working out is it makes me feel alive. Like when you give yourself to something with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, not just with your head, not just with your body, but with everything you have. And the Lord tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Like in that worship of Him, we find what it means to live. And as we worship Him and as we love Him, we will live as He lives. And we will love as He loves. And part of the reason why we don't is because we have disordered hearts. And so much of our ministry is about reordering the heart, allowing the gospel to reorder the heart so that we might live the fullness of life, so we might join in what He's doing. I know these are a lot of random thoughts, but as I got up early this morning to prepare for this, this idea, I was reminded of a phenomenon. But before I get there, like, did any of you guys play video games growing up? How many? Okay. Any of you still playing video games? Okay. Right. There is a phenomenon. I played video games growing up. Like, I can tell you what my favorite video games were. You know, Galaga was the one that I was really good at. And if you want to compete, I'll compete. But there's this phenomenon going on right now where kids are watching other kids play video games. And man, I don't get it. I mean, if you do that, you're probably much younger than me, okay? Like, why not just play the game? But you're watching somebody else play the game. It's kind of similar to when I'm sitting on the couch watching UFC, and if my wife is sitting next to me, she starts to feel me tense up, and I'm like doing this, and she just has to kind of tap me on the shoulder and go, "Hey, you're not in the fight." And that hurts. And I'm like, but I'm helping them. But really, I'm not. I'm not helping them. One of my concerns is that we would do the same thing. We would be in environments where we see other people in the game, and we'll think that we're in the game when really we're not in the game. You know, and I think every video game actually is a representation of something that's an actual reality. And we spend hours and hours and hours in a make-believe world when there's actually like a real battle going on out there. And anyone who would say that the Christian life is boring is not living the Christian life, because there's so much to do. And so part of this ministry is to equip people and to see people healed so that they can live fruitful lives for the gospel. And so we have spent the whole summer with a group of people going through steps. And it's been a mixed bag, honestly. I mean, we kind of keep track of like attendance and fall off and things like that. There's some semesters that seem to be more fruitful than others. But I really believe that what you sow into it, you reap out of it. And so we're going to pray here in a few minutes about a team that has said yes to take some baby steps into missional living by joining us on a trip to go to Port Aransas. You know, it's one thing to go to Kenya. Like, that's a considerable amount of time that not everybody can get off of work, and a lot of money. I think it's like, you got to raise like $3,000. And so What does it look like to take baby steps where you just go for 3 or 4 days over a weekend and just raise $350 and, you know, and we go play together and we go do the Lord's work together and we go see what he's up to in Port Aransas. And we're asking, like, Lord, help us to see what you're doing and let us join in what you're doing, because what he does is wonderful and beautiful and transformative. So we've been cultivating, pouring into people this semester, and you know, part of this is the fruit of this. Next week, we'll have our celebration service. And the class, how many of you are in the class of summer steps? Okay. And so we'll get to hear from you. We'll get to hear from you the ways that the Lord has been working in your own life. And I always like to kind of contextualize that, because I think there's oftentimes a lot of fear in stepping forward. And I think as you do it more, you'll get more comfortable. My mom's here and she's never met a stranger. And pretty much in the first 5 minutes, she's going to be telling somebody about Jesus. But there's something about telling somebody about Jesus, but then there's something about actually sharing your own story and how God transformed your own brokenness and redeemed you. It's really powerful. And not all of us are ready for that, but we hope that you would work towards that, because it's by the word of our testimony that we will overcome the evil one. And maybe you don't have a testimony yet, but I think God has brought you here. And that as you follow his voice, he will make you fruitful. Last week, and we're not even going to get into the message because I'm going to run out of time. I told you I could talk for about 4 hours on the things that were on my heart this week. I want to talk about hindrances to living a fruitful life. And we talked about the parable of the sower, or it's also called the parable of the soils. I would call it the parable of the ground. And the word of God goes out. And so the same word goes out to all the different types of ground. And the first ground, it says, is the seed, which is the word of God, which in part is the call of God. It falls beside the path. And the birds of the air come and snatch it up, and that's, Jesus explains, that's the evil one who comes and snatches up the word so that they don't believe. Because faith actually causes you to act differently, genuine faith. It causes you to live your life different than other people live your lives. These women are an example of that. But it's also trampled underfoot. And so I'm thinking, Lord, what does that mean? Like, what does that look like practically? And I think what that looks like practically is that the word of God goes out, the call of God goes out, the general call, like if you're a believer, to make disciples, to go go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded, for I'm with you to the end of the age. And we hear that and we think, that's for somebody else. It's not for me. And if that is our general disposition, if that's the general place in our heart, then we'll never live a fruitful life. The next soil, or ground, it says it falls on the rock. It springs up quickly, but it has no root. And when the trials come along, when the testing comes along, it withers away. And I really think Steps is like a microcosm of that. Because you have people that are super excited on the front end, but then you hit like assessments, right? And it's like, I'm out. I'm done. This is too hard. This feels like crucifixion. And it is hard. But there's something on the other side that makes it worthwhile. It's like going to, you know, another example would be going to youth camp. And you're all fired up when you come back, but then it fizzles out. Because it's actually not rooted in real change. It's not rooted in the kingdom. And then the last soil is which is a hindrance, is that we're choked out by the cares and concerns of this world, by the pleasures of this world. And I would say that it's that we're distracted. We're distracted by the things of the world, the same things that unbelievers are all worried about. And so it makes us unfruitful. Because do you know what? The thorns, the weeds, they suck the nutrients out of the soil. They rob of what could be useful for the kingdom because we treasure the things in this world. And it makes us unfruitful. But when it lands on good soil, and what I think about this is, have you ever been to one of those Brazilian meat places? What are they called? Help me. What are they called? Nobody else can pronounce it? What is it? Yeah, churrascura. Okay. They just, like, you have this thing on your table, and it's red or green. And what is your general disposition towards God's call in your life? Is it red or green? It's like, bring me the meat, right? And that's the good soil. It's like, okay, so I'm going to receive the word of God, and this isn't for somebody else, this is for me. And it's going to confront me, and it's going to shape me, and it's going to lead me to real life. A life that's rewarding. A life that's fruitful. And what we need to understand is that fruitfulness does not come from our circumstances, does not come from others. It comes from our relationship with God. And I think so many of us are missing that we are like, if they would do this, then I could be fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. And so when somebody bumps into you, someone bites into you, do they taste that sweetness? Because that fruitfulness is there to then be helpful to other people, to be fruitful for his kingdom. And so it lands on good soil. And that's like, okay, yeah, I'm in. How do we make that happen? Because there's always going to be reasons to not follow the call. Good reasons. Like, this is what I've learned as a human being, amongst human beings, that if I don't want to do something, I can give you 15 reasons, good reasons, why I can't do it. Like, I'm going on this trip, but my kids started school this week. My wife's going to be home alone without me. My stepmom's brother died, and they're having the memorial service on that day. All really good reasons for me not to go. Jesus says some crazy stuff, though. Like, he meets some guys that are fishermen. Peter's one of them, his brother, and then there's two others of the disciples. And he's like, they have a business, right? They have obligations with that business. They probably have deadlines as far as their fish, right? And they encounter Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, come and follow me. And they drop their nets, and they follow Jesus. Now, could they have said, hey, I have a business I need to run. Now, I'm not saying quit your job and, like, Jesus is calling you to go on either one of these mission trips. I'm just saying, are you willing if God asks? Maybe even use the example of the mission trip to, if you're in Steps, like, did you consider that for you? Did you even ask God if he wanted you to go? And maybe it's family obligation. Like, there's this other situation where, like, it's talking about the cost of following Jesus, and the guy's like, well, can I go bury my dad? And do you know what he says? He says, let the dead bury the dead. Like, you cannot help them, but here, there's someone that you can. That's radical. There's always going to be reasons to say no. The question is, are you looking for ways to say yes? Yes to God. And if you don't feel like that you're in a place yet of fruitfulness, then let's work together on becoming fruitful. Let us walk with you in that path of healing so that God can use. Listen, I'll tell you, the women who are going on this trip are women who have been through stuff. And God has been gracious to them and brought them to the other side. So now that they have a testimony to go share about the goodness of God in their own lives.